विविध प्रकार परिषद गण एक सरक कंखार. Such pure devotees are of two types, personal associates, parishats, and neophyte devotees, sadhakas. Purport. Perfect servitors of the Lord are considered his personal associates, whereas devotees endeavoring to attain perfection are called neophytes. Among the associates, some are attracted by the opulences of the personality of Godhead, and others attracted by nuptial love of Godhead. The former devotees are placed in the realm of Vaikuntha to render reverential devotional service, whereas the latter devotees are placed in Vrindavan for the direct service of Sri Krishna. Here are the categories of great devotees are given. It is explained that the sadhaka is the neophyte devotee who is advancing on the basis of following regulative principles for the purpose of allowing that natural attraction for Krishna to take place. And the Lord's personal associates are those pure devotees who have attained the perfection of life in the sense that they are attracted by the natural instinct for the loving service of the Lord. And here it is described that such pure devotees are categorized as those who are attracted by the opulences of the personality of Godhead, and those who are attracted by the nuptial love of Godhead. It means very intimate. So, the former is placed in the realm of Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha is that place where those pure souls who have completely immersed in loving surrender to the Lord dwell, having the same bodily features as the Lord, as his eternal servitor. In the Vaikuntha planets, everyone recognizes that Narayan is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the Absolute Truth. And how infinitely blissful it is that they never have to suffer birth and death. They never have to suffer old age or disease. But in pure spiritual bodies, they reciprocate loving service to the Lord. The Lord is the Supreme Master, and they are the eternal loving servants. This is Vaikuntha Dham, the spiritual world. But it is described in Brahma Samhita, and it also explained here by Srila Prabhupada, that of the Vaikuntha planets, Goloka is considered the highest of all spiritual realms. Because there, the sense of awe and reverence is forgotten due to the intensification of one's intimate affection for Lord Sri Krishna. And in Goloka Vrindavan, essentially there are three rasas. There is Sakya Ras, Vatsalya Ras, and Madhurya Ras. Love and friendship. Love as a parent, as well as love as a conjugal lover. And it is described that even the servants of the Lord are mixed with these higher, more intimate affections. In Vaikuntha, no one considers themselves to be Narayan's friend, what to speak of his parent or his lover. They are all his eternal, obedient servants. and worship him with love. There are many Vaikuntha planets. Each of the 10 avatars, in fact all of the great avatars, have their own Vaikuntha planets. There is a Vaikuntha planet where Lord Narasimhadev is the supreme. There is a Vaikuntha planet where Vamanadev, where Parasuram, where Ramchandra. And those devotees who become purified in worshipping them in this world, they return to that Vaikuntha planet where they can serve their worshipable Ishtadev for all of eternity. So the eternal abode of Ayodhya, where Sri Ram is residing, it is a very high Vaikuntha planet. There we find Hanumanji, who is the eternal servant of Ram. He simply wants to obediently engage in Ram's service, day, night, carry out whatever order he has. He does not consider himself an intimate friend of the Lord. He considers himself simply the most fortunate of all living beings because he is ever allowed by the grace of Ram to engage in his obedient service. Such an exalted position. This is on reverence. But you see, in Vrindavan, such a servant as Hanuman would not fit. Because in Vrindavan, nobody is the obedient servant of Krishna. Everyone is the house of Nanda Maharaj in Nandagaon. It is explained by the Goswamis. Although he has servants in the Dasyaras, how do they serve him? Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda, they have their young cowherd boys who are like servants. You get Krishna for this, you do this for Krishna. They are house servants. They are in Dasyaras. But what do they do while they're serving Krishna? They joke with him. They put their arms on him. They embrace him. This is the natural love of Vrindavan. There's no formalities amongst anybody. Even the peacocks and the birds and the trees. Nobody in Vrindavan has a formal relationship with Krishna. Even those in apparently Santaras or Dasyaras, they're actually all mixed very, very intimately with Sakyaras, Vatsayaras and Kanjuguras. Therefore, the sense of awe and reverence does not exist in Brajadham. This is the realm of Vaikuntha. What to speak if Hanumanji were to go to Vrindavan and he would see the gopis chastising Krishna? Sita never chastised Ram. And he would see Krishna pouring his tears upon the feet of Sri Radharani, begging forgiveness because she is angry with him. How would Hanumanji tolerate his Ram in such a position? What to speak of friends jumping on his back, playing with him, defeating him in wrestling? This is the difference between Vaikuntha and Goloka. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come along with his eternal associates to bring this spirit of spontaneous loving devotion in the mood of the Brijvasis to this world. Actually, in Goloka Vrindavan, there are five rasas in which, principal rasas in which Krishna is served. Neutrality, Santaras, servitorship, Dasyaras, friendship, Sakyaras, parental affection, Vatsalyaras, and conjugal love, which is Madhuryaras. And in that conjugal love, there are different neighborhoods in Goloka. There is Mathura, Dwarka, Navadvip, and Goloka, Vrindavan. And in the place of Dwarka on this supreme planet, Krishna is worshipped in conjugal love in what is called Swakiyaras, where he is married to his consorts. But in his original, most highest form of love, Govinda, the conjugal rasa is in the parakya mood, which means paramour. And that is considered to be the sweetest and highest expression that a jivatma, or that the eternal associates, are reciprocating with Sri Krishna. But factually, in Vrindavan, everyone in all the rasas is tainted to some extent with this conjugal rasa, because it is so, so prominent throughout the entire atmosphere that every living being is influenced very much in their love of Krishna by this. So therefore, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is explaining the supreme, most exalted position of worshipping Govinda in Goloka Vrindavan. After all, in this material world, this is a place of birth and death. It is a place of suffering. People, the Karmakandis, they perform great tapasya and perform wonderful, wonderful sacrifice and great pious activities and charity and take so many vows in order to attain higher levels of sense enjoyment on the heavenly planets. The Vedas are divided essentially in these different categories. Most of the Vedas teach us Karmakanda, the path of higher sense enjoyment, through worshipping demigods, through performing charity, piety, sacrifice and puja. We can attain Chandraloka, Indraloka, Brahmaloka, where we could live millions, sometimes billions of years, and never have to suffer until our karma is exhausted. Then we have to come back to this world. Avrama bhuvana loka punaravartanojana. Therefore, Krishna says, forget this karma kanda. It's all temporary. It's for the less intelligent. Although Krishna says, trivada narakashidam dwaram nashidam. He says the Vedas mostly deal with karma kanda. They mostly deal with the three modes of material nature. Transcend these things. Give them up, Arjuna. One who is frustrated after going up and down from the heavenly planets, enjoying and suffering, one finally comes to the platform, then this whole material world is a place of misery. Then they take to the process of jnana kanda. Through discrimination and through studying Vedanta, through renouncing the pleasures of this world, we can ultimately attain mukti. Mukti means that level of consciousness which is millions of times more blissful than any pleasurable condition, even in the heavenly planets, because it is a place where you are situated, alas, in your eternal constitutional position, in the sense that you never have to see birth or death again. Sat Chit Ananda, you have attained Sat, eternal life. But, as it is explained in the Bhagavatam, Arurya Krishchena Parampadam Tata, that eventually, because the soul is pleasure-seeking, it does not find the true love that it is looking for in mukti. So it comes down again to this material world. So from karma kanda to jnana kanda, some people in the middle, they follow the principles of the Vedas, astanga kanda, where they want to attain great, great mystic powers. There are eight mystic siddhis that one can attain. Prapti siddhi, where you can take anything from anywhere. If you want, you can get the soma nectar from the moon. Srila Prabhupada knew one man who had Prapti Siddhi, and somebody wanted a pomegranate from Kabul, Afghanistan, and within seconds he produced it. This is Prapti Siddhi. Anima Siddhi. Lagima Siddhi. You can become smaller than the smallest, bigger than the biggest. You could read another person's mind. You can control other people's lives. You could create planets. These are some of the eight mystic perfections. But ultimately they are all temporary. So after that frustration, one seeks out mukti. After seeing that even mukti is not our constitutional position, one takes to the path of upasana khanda. So these are the four principal khandas or paths within the Vedas. Karma khanda, fruit of activity, astanga khanda, mystic power, jnana khanda, for mukti, and upasana khanda, which is the path of bhakti. And when one perfects the path of bhakti, there are two levels. One is to be elevated to Vaikuntha, where we worship the Lord in awe and reverence. And the other is to attain the highest of the realms of Vaikuntha, which is Goloka Vrindavan, where one is simply worshipping Krishna in the most intimate, sweet, pure love. And the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, headed by Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, who has given us his life and teaching in its most authoritative form, are teaching the most exalted characteristics of what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving to the world. Namo Swarup Damodar Goswami prayed that this beautiful Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared like the moon in the coming from the ocean of the womb of Mother Sachi. And he has come to bestow upon the world what no one else has ever done. Access into the conjugal loving relationships with Lord Sri Krishna and Goloka Vrindavan. So of course, we know that there are many pious people and there are many very religious people who are teaching various forms of spirituality through the various religions around the world. And of course Krishna says, Sarva Dharman Parityaja Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja Hum Tvam Sarva Papibhyo Moksha Isyami Masacha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. In Kali Yuga, most all of the so-called religious teachers are not teaching surrender to God. They are teaching karma khanda. You will get nice material benefits if you worship God. And you'll also be saved in the end. People follow such persons because they want better material life and they want some sense of security of the hereafter. And here in India we find many gurus who are teaching the Astanga Khanda, how to attain mystic powers, how to perform miracles, through breath control, through manipulation of one's life errors, through tapasya, fasting, and so forth. And we also find many spiritual teachers who are teaching ultimately the goal of life is salvation, or mukti. And people strive for births after births after births to attain such a level. But it is very, very, very rare to find one who is teaching pure devotion. And of those who are teaching pure devotion, most everyone is teaching pure devotion in the mood of awe and reverence in Vaikuntha. So therefore, in relationship to interfaith, we understand that God is one. And anyone who is teaching without adulteration what is in the various scriptures of the world, they are teaching real religion. And therefore, we offer all respects to such a person. But at the same time, we should be very joyful in knowing, comparatively, what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his divine associates are giving. They are giving the most pure essence of the highest realizations of that one Supreme Godhead. How to love Krishna as a friend, as a parent, or as a conjugal lover. Of course, in the neophyte position, which most of us are somehow or other struggling within, we may not be able to artificially imitate these high levels of realization. But we can understand the exalted nature of the acharyas who are on this position. And we should pray that for the rest of eternity we could take the dust of the lotus feet of such exalted great persons upon our head and follow in their footsteps. And ultimately, by their mercy, it is guaranteed that we will also be given entrance into the lila of Lord of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath in the spiritual realm of Goloka. After describing this, Vishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is about to explain in the next several verses the different categories of the incarnations of Godhead. Krishna is known as Avatari. That means he is the source of all incarnations. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also considered the Avatari, means the source of all incarnations. So we are about, he has just explained the Avatari, his nature, and the types of devotees that realize the Avatari in his various forms. And now he is about to explain the various incarnations that the Lord reveals within this material world, as well as in the upper worlds, in the spiritual worlds. And this is a very, very, very interesting subject matter. Actually, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained that if one very, very carefully studies categorically the various incarnations of Godhead, his partial incarnations, his qualitative incarnations, his empowered incarnations, such a person becomes purified of all material desires and attains love of God. So, this is when we first make a study, it appears very, very complex how, where, and why the Lord is manifesting himself in so many wonderful ways. But actually, if it is presented systematically, according to the Shastra, with a careful explanation and study, it will not bewilder your mind, but it will give great, great satisfaction to your heart to see how Krishna is so infinitely great. And it is all simply for the purpose of two reasons. One is because of his infinite love for the conditioned souls. He reaches out to our hearts by expanding himself in so many wonderful ways. And two, for the sake of lila, for the sake of simply expanding the pleasures of the spiritual world. So, beginning Monday, we will begin to describe the various categories of the incarnations of Godhead. I would like if someone could give me some sort of either board or blackboard, something that we have to make charts. Without charts, it is very difficult to visualize and understand how these various incarnations relate to one another.
We have?
I may need four boards.
Huh? Just cardboard and some dark.
This can be rolled up,
you know, white drawing sheets.
Yeah, that's all right.
Huh?
Just something that's big.
Yeah.
So
it can be rolled.
See.
When you are not using it, you can roll it and keep it.
So Monday we will enter into the realm of the Lord's various incarnations. Thank you very much. Ado Shadha. What does Ado mean? In the beginning. Ado Shadha. Tatha Sadhu Sangotha Bhajanakriya. This means at the beginning there's faith. When Krishna, you see, by the mercy of Krishna, one is led into the association of devotees. Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hridayasyarjuna Tishtati. Krishna is in everyone's heart. When, by the mercy of Krishna, when he sees that there is even a spark of faith, he directs us to the association of devotees. He's the one that brings us into the association of devotees. It's like what Radha Krishna Prabhu was saying, that so many people met Prabhupada. Nobody meets Prabhupada by accident. It is only by the mercy of Krishna one gets guru. Whether you accept or not, that's your choice. But it's only by the mercy of Krishna that one gets guru. It's only by the mercy of Krishna that one can have the association of sadhus. So when Krishna sees that there's some desire, perhaps created by previous associations in last lives, by some development of religiosity in our last life, by oftentimes it's by agyata sukriti, when we even unknowingly appreciate a devotee or unknowingly give some donation or appreciate someone, that creates a spark of faith in the sublime process of bhakti in our heart. And when that spark is there, Krishna within in the heart directs us to sadhu satsang. So at the beginning there's that little faith. Then in the association of devotees, it is explained, in the beginning one must have a preliminary desire for self-realization. This will bring one to the stage of trying to associate with persons who are spiritually elevated. In the next stage, one becomes initiated by an elevated spiritual master, and under his instruction, the neophyte devotee begins the process of devotional service. That is bhajana kriya. By execution of devotional service under the guidance of the spiritual master, one becomes free from all material attachment. That is anartha nivritti. That means all unwanted things are cleansed from our heart. Then one attains steadiness. Steadiness means nishta. Means our faith becomes unshakable. And then one acquires the higher taste, param drisvani vartate, which is ruchi. That higher taste is the beginning of raganubhavati, spontaneous devotional service. But please understand that raganubhavati is still under the category of sadhana. Sadhana bhakti has two categories, vaidhi bhakti and raganubhavati. Vaidhi bhakti means where we really have no taste or very little. Therefore, out of discipline and austerity, we accept what's favorable and we reject what's unfavorable. The second part of sadhana bhakti is when we have no more
anartha nivritti, all of the unwanted desires are cleansed from our heart, and we have a spontaneous taste for Krishna. We simply want to engage in his service. That is called ruchi. And then, according to Rupa Goswami, how does he word it? Tato nishta ruchis tata atha shaktis. What is explained in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya as rati, or attachment, is in the actual verse atha shaktis, which means attachment. Tato bhavas. That develops into bhava. It is described in this literal translation. After one acquires a taste for hearing about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that taste leads one forward to attachment for Krishna consciousness, which is matured into bhava, or the preliminary stage of love of God. And then prema, real love of God, which is the highest perfectional stage of life. Atha shakti stato bhavas tatha prema budanshati sadakanam ayam prema pradhur bhave bhavet krama. Any questions?
Showing us that path which we are not even passing the first or second stage altogether. Whether this thing will be
able to. Whether this thing what?
We won't be able to reach to this level of prema, bhava. Whole lifetime we are just struggling to control the senses. We are the first stage altogether.
You cannot attain this level. But by the mercy of Krishna and by the mercy of Guru, this level is revealed to you. Simply by faithfully chanting the holy names and faithfully pleasing our spiritual master in Krishna, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives this realization. You cannot attain it. He gave it to Jagai and Madai instantly. You don't think he can give it to you? Do you think your fallen condition is so great that it's more powerful than God himself? Huh? That is another type of gross false pride. That I'm so fallen that Krishna cannot give me the highest. It's beyond his power. My power of sin is greater than his power of deliverance. Huh? Yes, we are most fallen. And we have no power to even control our senses. But if we surrender to Krishna, if we fall at the feet of Krishna and call out his holy name offenselessly, and we call out the holy name of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then he delivers us. He is all-powerful. He is Patita Pavana. He can give the most degraded the highest gift of Prema Bhakti. Huh? So we must understand these things, because if we don't understand these things, we will not understand the power of the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that's why we're here. That's ultimately the whole purpose of this class, to understand the power of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if we try to understand the power of his mercy on the basis of our relative conception, that he's an ordinary person like us, and since I'm so fallen, he can't do it. Huh? When we understand what heights of the gifts he's giving to the most fallen, degraded creatures of earth, then we understand that there is no one so beautiful, so great, and so merciful as God in this form of Sri Gauranga. Huh? Yes, in this life you can attain this stage if you simply accept his mercy. Lord Nityananda, he was the most important canvasser of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. And what did he say? Just accept the mercy of Lord Gauranga. Baja Gaurango, Kaho Gaurango, Laho Gaurange Namre, Jejana Gaurango, Say Hi Mora Prandre. What does that mean?
Just take the name of Gauranga, chant the name of Gauranga. Whoever sings the name of Gauranga, it is my life and soul.
That's all there is. That is all Lord Nityananda taught. And he sent millions of people, billions of people, back to Goloka Vrindavan on the basis of this one little mantra. Baja Gauranga, Kaho Gauranga. Just accept the name of Gauranga. Just take the mercy of Gauranga. That is the only qualification. Just take it. Just accept it. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come as Narottam Das Thakur has prayed. Patita pavana hetu tava avatar. Mosamo patita prabhu na paiveya. This means, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you have come to give the most fallen and degraded people the highest realization of prema bhakti. But my claim is first because I'm the most fallen. So rather than being disturbed thinking that I'm so fallen, how will I ever understand these highest understandings of love of God? Rather than being discouraged, you should be encouraged. You should be thinking that how infinitely merciful Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. If I simply accept his mercy, he will give me this. Huh? What do you think? We are reading Chaitanya Charitamrita. All this philosophy ultimately is meant us to bring us to this one point of understanding the glory of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy and accepting it. By reading Chaitanya Charitamrita and by going through all this very deep philosophy, we can have some glimpse of how great the mercy of Sri Gauranga is. And all the great acharyas, this is their prayer to Sri Gauranga. Rupa Goswami prayed, Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauratveshe Namah. No other incarnation in the history of all of the creations, of all the universes, has ever been so munificent benefactor as you. You are giving the conjugal love of Krishna freely to anyone who will simply accept your mercy. Even the most fallen. And what is your mercy? To be the servant of your devotees and to sincerely chant your holy names. You are giving us this simple process, and through this process you are giving us the highest realizations. Which are unattainable. Even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva cannot attain. It is explained in beautiful prayers. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give it freely to everyone. Therefore, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, in one beautiful sloka of Chaitanya Charitamrita, he explains that just try to understand the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and you will be astonished. What is that verse? What is the translation?
If you constantly think about the causeless mercy of Lord Chaitanya, you will be astonished.
Those who have some intellectual capacity, Krishna Das Kaviraj invites, please try to apply your good intelligence to understand the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because when you understand the nature of this mercy, you will be astonished. There are many Vaishnav schools. And it is not a question of being arrogant or being thinking we are better than you. But the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, because of this, the nature of this mercy which is revealed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Chaitanya Bhagavat, by Rupa and Sanatan, Raghunath Das, Jiva Goswami, we understand that of all Vaishnava schools, to receive the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most special, precious gift coming from above. Because by that causeless mercy, the highest reaches down to the lowest, where there is no qualification necessary except one, to simply accept his mercy. There's no other qualification needed. If there was any other qualifications, what you're saying is true. What you're saying is absolutely true. If we had to qualify ourselves to become prema bhaktis. But there's only one qualification. Lord Nityananda said, just take the name of Gauranga. Just receive his mercy. And you will be my life and soul. You see, we're talking about the conjugal love affairs of Radha and Krishna. When Lord Nityananda Prabhu was preaching, he understood that the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna is so high that people cannot grasp it. People cannot understand it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was teaching how to attain the highest love of God in conjugal affection with Radha and Krishna. He was teaching that directly. But Lord Nityananda was thinking, the people will not, they're too fallen, they're too degraded, they cannot enter into this conjugal love of Radha and Krishna. But if they just accept Lord Gauranga, they'll automatically attain that. Because he is the embodiment of that conjugal love of Radha and Krishna within himself. If you get the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you have the mercy, you've already entered into the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna. Nitai pada kamalayor koti janda shushitala. Therefore it is explained by Narottam Das Thakur that if you attain the shade of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, only will you enter into the realm of the conjugal love affairs of Radha and Krishna. Because Lord Nityananda is bringing you to the feet of Lord Gauranga, who is the embodiment of Radha Krishna's conjugal love affairs. And the spiritual master is the representative of Lord Nityananda. So in this line, coming down through Gaur Nitai, if we simply receive the mercy, and how to receive the mercy? By just being a humble servant and following the instructions. You could do that. Can you not do that? That's something, it might be hard, it might be difficult, but you can do it. And if you simply do that from your heart, then by the mercy of Lord Gaur Sundar, all of these things we're reading about will become an irrevocable realization within your own life. Yes?
Although in one way it should be good that one should feel himself very low and humble, but in another sense, one should also aspire to reach this. That is a sort of an encouragement to...
Yes. One should aspire to receive the causeless mercy of Sri Gauranga.
Yeah, but with an open mind, not thinking, I cannot attend that, so...
We cannot, but by the grace of Gauranga we can. So we should simply try to attain the mercy of our spiritual master and try to attain the mercy of Lord Gauranga and understand that it is by their gift that this realization is coming, not by our aspiration for that. Our aspiration, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, simply aspire to be the servant of the servant of the servant. If you do that, this will all be given to you.
But in an optimistic way, not in a pessimistic way.
We should be pessimistic toward ourselves, but optimistic toward the mercy of Guru and Gauranga. Isn't that the way all the acharyas pray? Supreme hope. Rupa Goswami said, one must have hope against hope that he will achieve the mercy of Sri Gauranga. So therefore, this is the supreme optimism, that the ultimate mercy of God has descended. Like rain, we simply must be willing to expose our entire life to that downpour of love of God, which Nitai Gauranga have brought to this world. Paramakaruna Pahundui Jana Nitai Gaura Chandra. Saba Avatara Avasiromani Kevala Anandakan. Gochandas Thakur, who is also the author of the Chaitanya Mangala, one of the original biographies of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he wrote this bhajan. Paramakaruna Pahundui Jana Nitai Gaura Chandra. That the supreme Paramakaruna, the supreme ocean of mercy, supreme mercy, is being distributed. By following their order, chanting, dancing, and feasting. By chanting, dancing, and feasting, you cannot attain love of God, but by chanting, dancing, and feasting, you can receive the mercy of Lord Nityananda and Lord Gaurachandra, and then they give you that love of God. That is their mercy. That is what they have come for. We must understand the power of the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we must dedicate our life to that.
So, the six items, among the six items of surrender, one of them is to consider oneself most fallen and pray for the mercy.
Because if you don't consider yourself most fallen, you cannot reach out for mercy. Mercy does not come to qualified people. If you are qualified for something, would it be mercy? What is the definition of mercy? It means you don't deserve it, but you're getting it anyway. Right? If you go to a store, just like, say, we want to buy a Maruti van, and we go to the store and we give 5 lakhs and say, give me a Maruti van, and they give you the van, do you say, oh, you are very merciful? Do you say that? What if you go to the store and say, I have no money, but for my Guru Maharaj, I want this van. And he says, oh, you don't have to pay, just use it properly. Then would you say that that person is merciful? So what is the definition of mercy? It means you don't deserve it, but you get it anyway. Not by your qualification, but by the benevolence of the giver. That is what mercy means. If you think you're qualified, there's no question of mercy. But if you consider yourself the most fallen, the most undeserving, then you are in a proper state of consciousness by which the Lord will be merciful upon you.
So, Vaidhi Bhakti and Nishtha.
Essentially, yes.
And then you have the Pradhanuga Bhakti, which is
spontaneous. Spontaneous devotion.
Then Bhava Bhakti and Prema. But that's all under Sadhana Bhakti. Bhava and Prema is separate. Like up to Rati, you have Sadhana. Maharaj said, Sadhana has two stages, Vaidhi and Raghunuga.
After
Raghunuga,
Raghunuga
bhakti in
bhava.
Bhava
bhakti.
After
bhava
comes prema.
In other words,
your
sadhana, bhava,
and prema.
Is it right?
Bhava is not part of sadhana bhakti.
Yeah, that's right. It's a three stages. Sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, and prema.
Yes.
It is not usually classified
this
like
is how it's there earlier. You've done it.
Sadhana, bhava, and prema.
Not bhava, raga.
Sadhana and raga.
Sadhana means Vairi Bhakti and Raga Bhakti.
But this raga is different from the one we discussed yesterday, Raga Smita.
No. What is the difference?
That is spontaneous attraction. You are thinking that you have some relationship with Krishna in a particular
way. That is a higher level. The Raga Nuga Bhakti means the initial that. Raga also extends itself beyond sadhana bhakti. After all, is there not attachment in the spiritual world? But it's beyond. That attachment is mixed with bhava at that point. It's crystallized into its purest state of bhava and then prema, that attachment.
There may be overlapping in this chart. See, what Maharaj is saying, Raga Nuga extends beyond sadhana. Although it's part of sadhana, yet it extends. So if you put a chart like this, see, it's not really valid because bhava...
Yes, it is.
But still, Raga, this is also part of Raga.
Everything is contained everywhere.
Yeah. So, in
other words, this everything is being added to it.
Do you think when you have prema, you don't have faith?
It's inclusive.
But do we call it...
Everything is included. But this is just like in the rasas. In dasya ras, santa ras is included. In sakya ras, dasya ras is included. But that doesn't mean dasya ras is sakya ras. In madhurya ras, all the rasas are included. But it doesn't mean that Vatsalya Ras is conjugal Ras. So everything is included. First there's faith. Then there's soul association with devotees. Then there's the initiation of the spiritual master. But all those things are always there.
They explain that just like the attributes of the elements, like sky there is only sound.
Added too.
Ultimately in earth there is everything, sound, taste.
The question was just of terminology, whether we call bhava as part of raga bhakti or whether we call it a completely different category. That's the terminology, not in essence.
It is beyond sadhana bhakti, it is the perfection of sadhana bhakti.
Yet it is also called raga.
Yes.
Actually, raga is part of bhava. Because bhava is more than raga.
Rasas are part of bhava, man.
What?
Bhava can mean one of the rasas. So in there is overlapping.
All rasas. Rasas are all coming from, when we're talking about the five rasas, we're beginning from the point of prema bhakti. Prema bhakti is when the five rasas are revealed.
Like earlier we studied that the culmination of bhava is thai bhava. Once thai bhava, prema bhakti begins with the five. So at that point, the five rasas actually begin when those, after thai bhava, there is vyabhichari, sattvika, anuchari, and so on. So at that stage, when these four come in, then the five rasas actually begin. So even after bhava, actually. Isn't it?
Just pray for the mercy of Lord Chaitanya.
So what to speak of those people who are doing Siddha Pranayavishya right at the Vairi Bhakti stage, they're talking about something that is beyond even how.
You see, there is amongst very exalted Vaishnavas, we find that there's initiation into conjugal ras, initiation into sakya ras. It's like Shyamananda Goswami. Hridaya Chaitanya, his original guru, who lived in Orissa, He initiated him in Sakyaras because Hridaya Chaitanya was a devotee of Lord Nityananda. He was a Sakyaras Bhakti. But then when he went to Vrindavan, he had darshan with Lalita Devi. He found the ankle bracelets of Radharani, the bangle, and she put the tilak on his head. He was criticized for that. But then it was revealed to Jiva Goswami that this was all Radharani's special mercy. And it was also, he was being guided toward this higher realization of Madhurya Ras. So he asked Jiva Goswami to initiate him into Diksha, into Madhurya Ras, which he did. That time Hridaya Chaitanya became disturbed. Said, why is he accepting another? Huh? So, but this is very, very high. You have to understand, Shamananda is one of the Manjaris from Goloka Vrindavan. He's not just, he was not trying to control his senses. So on these very high levels amongst these very Nitya Siddhas who descend on this earth and so forth, they are giving these types of initiations. But when someone gives these types of initiation to someone who hasn't already attained bhava, then they're actually cheating those persons to take things cheaply. So these are Vaishnava relationships between guru and disciple which are on that level of bhava already. If actually Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he explained that according to the times and circumstance right now in Kali Yuga, there's no need for these advanced, more advanced initiations. Simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord in bhava, in love of God, Krishna will, from within the heart, automatically reveal all of these higher realizations of your particular lila with the Lord in the spiritual world. The guru in the heart reveals those things. Any other questions? We didn't even start reading yet. Tomorrow is Sunday, though.